Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Post Acute Point of View podcast, our discussion hub for healthcare technology in the out-of-hospital space. Here, we talk about the latest news and views on trends and innovations that can impact the way post-acute care providers work. We'll also dive into how technology can make a difference in today's changing healthcare landscape for home and facility-based workers and the people they care for. Let's dive in.
Thanks for joining, everyone. Our panel session today includes key leaders across the industry in nursing, healthcare, and dietetics. So let's introduce our presenters. Hello, my name is Amy Wooten, registered dietitian, head of product management with Meal Tracker here at Matrix Care. I've been here for the past 7 years. I have over 20 years experience in nutrition management, in senior communities, acute care, food service management, and nutrition informatics. I'm a member of the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics Interoperability and Standards Committee. It's a great committee, lots of great information for healthcare and dietetics. I'm also in the Nutrition Informatics Dietetic Practice Group, which is also a great practice group for those interested in informatics. I'm passionate about the advancement of nutrition interventions and informatics as an electronic solution to healthcare crisis. Today, I also have with me Allison Rainey, our head of nursing and clinical informatics. Allison oversees the development of clinical technologies. As a registered nurse and licensed family practitioner, Allison drives a caregiving-first approach in our products, collaborating closely with product leaders to ensure our products and services prioritize the needs and challenges faced by healthcare providers. I also have with me Sandy Hudak, is a member of the analytics team here at Matrix Care. Since joining Matrix Care, she's been responsible for the design and development of clinical outcomes reporting. Sandy's a registered nurse with an extensive background in clinical outcomes research, resulting in the design of clinical management programs for electronic health records. So today our topics are advanced strategies for nutrition care planning that can be tailored to senior needs, how analytics documentation for PDPM plays a key role in reimbursement, and new approaches to menu creation and how technology can help with healthy meals.
Thank you, Amy. Well, hello. I'm so happy to be here talking about person-centered care planning and the value it brings to our residents and healthcare centers. So we all know that great patient-centered care planning is the beginning of high-quality care delivery, excellent outcomes, and of course, patient satisfaction, right? Food is important. So if we can identify those unique needs of the residents and work together to devise care plans that effectively support appropriate goals, we're setting the stage for success all the way around. So what are some of the impacts that we see from excellent care plan, person-centered care planning? We see coordinated care. So care planning forces team members to come together to ensure we are working together across disciplines and the care team for common goals. Information needs to be transferred from one care team member to another effectively for the interventions to be successful, right? So a resident that is at risk for malnutrition may have a basic intervention such as X, Y, or Z for preferred snack at bedtime is in place, but if the nursing team isn't aware or isn't on board, then it doesn't really matter. We haven't met the mark. So it's really important to coordinate and work together and ensure those that we have those come through. It's also important that we have patient-directed goals. So we need to include those tiny pieces of information that family members and other caregivers are aware of that may not be a part of our discipline, structured discipline team. We have to have that comprehensive view. And then, of course, preventive care. So catching those assessment items that put a patient at risk for malnutrition early is critically important. Assessments might find the resident has cognitive impairments impact their intake, right? Swallowing difficulties might have shown up. We might have some tremors impacting a resident's ability to feed themselves adequately. So all those need to be identified, and we need to work together to support the resident effectively across all of your team. As we're doing person-centered care planning, we don't only identify those issues, right? But we also need to find the strengths. So if a resident has a very supportive family member or other care team members, enlist that, right? Use those things to our advantage and to the resident's advantage. So not only do we know that good care planning is beginning of great care and prevents negative outcomes, but so does the federal government, right? So the federal government does recognize how important food and nutrition services are for quality of care, quality of life, and outcomes, as evidenced by the number of federal tags that are directly related and indirectly related to food and nutrition services. Call out the fact that food and nutrition services representation is even specifically called out on like those general care plan tags related to care planning. So that's how important, we know it's important, but so does federal government. Food and nutrition services is key to quality care. So breaking that down just a little bit further, you can see that the number one tag noted per the CASPER data of November of 2023 was F-tag 812, food procurement, storage, preparing. But you will also note that there are two care plan related federal tags on the top 10 citation list, and that those general deficiency counts are going up in general across the board. As quality organizations, we need to really look at our systems and ensure that all critical members are included in that care plan process. So how do we ensure compliance? At the center of care planning is resident needs, resident goals. So it's critical to have that comprehensive view of the resident. We all have our specialties, and it's important that we all come together and know we together can contribute to a high quality outcome. For example, a resident might be diagnosed with depression, or dentition issues are identified by the medical or nursing staff. Certainly those findings can clinically lead to malnutrition. The resident might be fine today, but they might not be in a week, right? If pop up. So if those findings are effectively shared, interventions can be put into place to proactively prevent the negative outcome. And that's certainly what we want. Timely information is critical. So we just talked about the critical nature of collaborative care as it relates to nutritional intervention and the best resident care. It's also important to note that the critical goal of comprehensive data collection and accurate assessments also support the complex care that we are delivering for reimbursement, right? So that's part of this too. There are many nutrition-related MBS items that impact PDPM rates, and your healthcare centers should certainly get reimbursed for the complex care that you and your teams are delivering. So it's important not only in the record, but make sure that they also get transferred to and subsequently your care plans. You have MBS coded items that contribute to PDPM on this, swallowing disorders, you're treating a patient for weight loss, other nutritional approaches, intakes by artificial routes, morbid obesity, all of those things can contribute to your rate. So make sure those get included. Briefly touch on this. It's really meant to illustrate that care plan is ongoing, right? We have the MBS, we have the cause, and we developed that large care plan. However, resident conditions and preferences certainly can change between scheduled MBSs, right? And we need to update our approaches timely. In today's healthcare environment, with all of the information that's coming in and the data that's coming in on each unique resident that we're taking care of, this is extremely difficult. So not only do we have internal disciplines interacting with our residents and documenting all the time, but we also have that medical technology integrations like vital signs machines, other wearables, service-related integrations like labs or external provider visits, telemedicine visits, all of that information coming in on the right. You might see new diagnoses such as depression, like I talked about, dental issues, like we talked about, infections. As we think of all that information coming in, effective care plan development and subsequent delivery of care requires technology-enabled supported systems at this time. There's just so much, and our residents are so complicated. So the traditional care plan development that is not technology-enabled is manual. Remember the old days when it was siloed, it was frequently reactive and very labor-intensive. I can remember using Excel spreadsheets, right, to monitor weights or flipping through paper records to monitor intake grids. So advanced technology has put much better tools in place for us so that we can have those timely, comprehensive care plan updates for each of our residents. Technology allows early surfacing of resident, changing resident needs, provides comprehensive resident databases supported by the integrated care, provides clinical assessment guidance and suggestions around evidence-based practices, supports standardizing where appropriate, operational optimization, and then can provide near real-time aggregation of data, intuitive visualizations, and actionable analytics for clinical system improvement. So let's talk a little bit about how technology can improve your care plan quality. So interoperability, I just noted all those places where information is coming in from. So if we can pull all that information from the various care team members and data sources, you know, your acute hospital, your labs and ancillaries, pull that into your medical record. We've also got in-house data collection, especially things like point of care, right? Real-time information related to intake, any changes in condition, updated diagnoses, weights. We have all that data in there. It's very important to have that layer on top of it for functionality, right? Have all that near real-time data. How aware it is surfaced is critical to the clinician. Advanced analytic tools that can support surfacing of relevant information to clinicians for early intervention is so important. We have to have that right information at the right time. All of this combined is going to lead to a very accurate, proactive care plan and care delivery process. So what are some of the advanced functionalities that we need to really leverage as we consider developing timely and quality care plans and provide the highest level of care? So the first thing I would is care plan templates, right? Take the time to look at your systems if there are care plan templates that support appropriate interventions to prevent malnutrition, right? Templates can trigger appropriate intervention options supported by evidence-based practices and can even trigger ideas that maybe the clinician hadn't considered or maybe they didn't even know they had in their toolbox. So really take the time to look at those and set them up for success across your entire system, organization, building, whatever that may be. Very huge tool to use. Also, if there's triggers in your care plan, so if you're working in your care plan and you can send information from one place to another, so if you have an intervention that a frontline caregiver needs to know as they're taking care of a resident, push it from the care plan, get it enabled, and get it right there where people can use it and do the best care that they can for that unique resident. Very important to surface that information. So point of care, because that is so critical, right? We have having the technology and the equipment to support timely documentation on the intakes, on weights, on changes of condition, supports the completeness and accuracy, and your record will contain that near real-time information. And I want to stress that very much because, in theory, you can have folks taking those critical vital signs or whatever and getting them in the record at the end of the day while you have clinicians in the morning actually taking care of those residents and maybe should have included that information as they were assessing and making their plan of care. But now you can get it, if they're doing it in the morning, the clinicians can get it soon thereafter, because we know in the population that we serve, it's critical that we do it quickly and timely so that, because they can decline quickly. Our senior population is fragile and it's important to get in there early, and early interventions are critical and help success. And then just one more thing I like to highlight through advanced technology to really consider is through the advanced technology, we can also gather all that information for system-wide intervention. And Sandy's going to come on here in just a second and start and speak more in depth around the use and value of integrated data. So we get all that information timely from all those various places, and what we can do with that is very, very powerful. Technology can really help us look in depth, not only at the residents, but also our systems, so we can drive successful care delivery. So technology-enhanced care planning will result in one, better alignment from care delivery to reimbursement, right? Get all that information aligned and together. Improve systems to support quality proactive care delivery and decrease the risk for malnutrition for our residents. Then it will personalize timely approaches to care, right? Early intervention is critical. So very much helps us to have that timely interaction and implementation of our interventions. So ultimately, all of this is together is better care, right? It's going to equate to better care, and we're going to take the best care of our residents as possible. So with that said, kind of in prep for the rest, I would like to now welcome my colleague, Sandy Hudak, Matrix Care's Associate Product Manager for Analytics, to talk a little bit more about the value of data and the monitoring of our interventions' effectiveness.
Thank you, Amy. I will now talk about using data analytics to help monitor the effectiveness of those care plans that Allison has been talking about. But before doing so, I'd like to take a moment to talk about quality measures. While there is no specific quality measure for malnutrition today, there are several malnutrition-related quality measures that have been identified, and they are listed here. Many of these measures are associated with high healthcare costs, as we know, readmissions and wounds in particular, but all of these quality measures impact resident outcomes and quality of life. This list of quality measures where malnutrition plays a key role just emphasizes the importance of malnutrition on resident conditions and quality of life. Using data analytics to support care plans really can have a positive impact on all of these quality measures. And so you see the value of malnutrition and the impact on so many measures that we can make a difference with better management of care planning for malnutrition. And descriptive analytics really presents a big picture. It offers data views to describe a particular outcome or a set of outcomes, and really does this in order to inform. And it does this by offering a series of information that it really does paint the big picture to inform. And that includes current data. So it'll give you information about what's going on now, whether it's today, this month, this week, and then historical data, what's been going on, what happened last month, and trended views. So you can actually look at historical data now and see how have we been doing And do we see any spikes or peaks in these trended views to give us some sort of clues about do we have a problem? So this overall review of having all of this descriptive information that gives you this story, it helps to consider, do we need to do a deeper dive? Do we need to do further analysis into our data? So data analytics offers visibility into the state of malnutrition across the entire corporation and can answer these questions, as I've said. How well are we managing our malnutrition? And therefore, how well are we managing our care plan strategies and our nutritional approaches? Some example views on this really show the type of information, and I'll be doing that, that you can have at your fingertips to help inform and with your decision making. So this is looking at percent residents. So what's your population the current month that has malnutrition? 11.13%. And you can compare that to the prior month. You can also have a visual on your page that shows you what percent population has malnutrition today, looking at the trend in view. And what is valuable about the trend in view is this. You can look at how well you're doing. How well you're doing in this particular example for 2024, looking at your resident population, January, February, and March for 2024 all have higher or about the same, but slightly higher for March, but all have higher percentages of your population with malnutrition than last year during these same months. But you can also see that the population with malnutrition is also steadily on the decline, however slight, but you can get a sense from how are we managing our malnutrition. And data analytics also offers recognition of potential variations in practice. And I think this is one of the key benefits of analytics, is looking at variations in practice. This is something that is not easily recognizable in most practices without analytics. So, for example, are there differences across the organization, malnutrition for facilities A, B, and C? Obvious that facility A has more residents with malnutrition, but you don't really get enough information where you know facility A has more, but what's the story? What else is going on? Is there a problem? So then you have complementary visuals within your view, then of how well facilities A, B, and C have been doing. And so it's very clear in these views then that facility A has been trending up with residents with malnutrition. Now, and while facility B and C have been declining. So are facilities B and C doing better with their management of malnutrition? Are they trying new strategies? Have they made some adjustments in their practices and their workflows to reduce those numbers? Or is it simply that facility A is identifying more residents with malnutrition versus facilities B and C? But these are the types of views then that can lead you to thinking, well, is there something going on or not? But certainly it's worth taking a look at. And maybe we do need to do a deeper dive into our data. Data analytics also is very good for providing opportunities to start nutritional assessments earlier. And specifically, notifications of new admissions and notification of residents who have a new diagnosis added to their record. So literature shows that up to 50% of patients admitted to the hospital are malnourished, yet less than 9% have a malnutrition diagnosis at discharge. That supports the claim then there are more residents being admitted to skilled nursing with malnutrition. So it's very important then. Here you have an opportunity to be notified of new admissions, which shows you the type of notification that you can receive on a daily basis. And again, this is information that, as Allison points out, is really updated in near real time. You can see new admissions this week with malnutrition present, or you can see new admissions today with malnutrition present, or you can see without malnutrition presence. Either way, you can get notifications of new admissions. So this streamlines the workflow where you're waiting as a dietitian to be notified, or whatever your process is for being aware of new admission, it can be automated. You don't have to look for the information. It's presented to you in notification. So then this leads to earlier assessment, earlier planning for nutritional approaches, which all of this earlier awareness of can avoid treatment delays. And we know also treatment delays are associated with poor clinical outcomes. And also data analytics offers a very important opportunity to act on malnutrition risk. So there are so many diagnoses out there that are available to identify malnutrition risk. But how do you as a clinician access these diagnoses or these indicators that the resident has malnutrition risk. That is not something that's easily accomplished today in a manual effort. There are many diagnoses and you have to parse through them to see which ones are valid for malnutrition risk. Well, that's where the power of data analytics. Data analytics will capture all of them. There will not be a missed malnutrition risk diagnosis. So what does that do for us then? Well, the obvious is that it gets us to prevention of actual malnutrition. Identifying risk and doing an early assessment on malnutrition risk then is being proactive in preventing actual malnutrition. You can be presented with the information such as you have 50 residents at risk today or whatever view you're looking at this week. And not only can you see this information, which is potentially not be readily available to you without analytics, now you can see what they're at risk for. What are some of these diagnoses that these residents are presenting them? So you can act upon specific diagnoses. You can trend these diagnoses to see if you're making a difference. Are we treating, are we managing these risk diagnoses well or not by using some of those same types of visuals that I just described. And another way that data analytics really supports resident care and management of the care plan, having an awareness of new and aging wounds. And this is something that it may not be readily available across the care team, but I want to emphasize that this is something that is readily available with data analytics. You can be alerted to new wounds. And if you are managing multiple facilities or one, you can now be made aware of a new wound. And by being aware of a new wound, you can then start your nutritional assessment on day one. Also, with having alerts on aging wounds, that's something that may not be readily available, but with data analytics, you can get this information in notifications. You can be made aware of how many aging wounds are out there at your facility or across your nursing units. So these are just showing types of alerts that you can get. New wounds today, and these are five new residents have new wounds today. Two of these residents have malnutrition present. Two of these five residents have malnutrition risk present. So this is very informative information that gives you, it's actionable data. You can take action on these alerts. Wounds that are aging, again, same concept. You can have access to aging wounds. How many aging wounds do we have today? 22 residents have aging wounds. And four of these residents have malnutrition, and 10 of them have malnutrition risk. So again, very powerful information, and all of it lends itself to earlier nutritional assessments, getting on top of nutritional status before there are declines. And malnutrition is associated in the literature with increased risk for pressure ulcers, as well as associations with difficulty in healing, delays in healing related to malnutrition. The other value to data analytics is having access to key indicators. And as Allison mentioned, there is so much information coming in that data analytics can actually pull that together, and especially descriptive analytics where it helps to paint a story or paint a picture, tell a story. So having access to these key indicators, weight loss and gains, significant changes in weight loss and gains, and then meal intake, particularly is meal intake declining. And so again, data analytics can present data, actionable data for you to review. Percentage of weight loss is a diagnostic indicator of malnutrition. We definitely can show you there's change in weight loss. Again, you can have data points that say, we've got three residents who have had a decline in weight. We have 10 residents who had significant weight changes in the last 30 days or the last 7 days. Likewise, you can easily get information about meal intake, critical for residents who are consistently taking in less than 25% of their meals. You can see meal intake less than 25%, meals for a month. So if you have 90 meals or 91 or 2 in a month, you can see then, for example, these residents, when you look at their total meals for the month, 59 of this resident's meals have been less than 25%. Now that tells a story. That's information that can be acted upon. And this is not readily available without data analytics. And then also using data analytics for PDPM and reimbursement. And Allison talked about the Section K indicators that are so very important to make sure that MDS data entries are accurate. But how analytics comes into play for validating is this comparison views. Data analytics can show you views of what's in the MDS and compare it against what's in the resident's record. So for example, if you have diagnoses in the medical record indicate malnutrition, but yet they're not showing up in section I, there's an opportunity. Analytics can show you there is a discrepancy in section I. And so you can go right into those discrepancies and take action. Likewise with section K, you can have an indicator that says we have 27 residents with dysphagia or swallowing indications, yet we might only have two MDS. So again, these are just examples of how you can use data to compare and again, take action. And this is really to summarize, managing malnutrition, as Allison already spoke to, takes an entire team. The value of data analytics, everyone on the team has access to the exact same information. No one is seeing different information. Everybody's working off of the same data. Everyone has the information in real time. So that really reduces the time spent communicating, sending messages, contacting. Obviously, that's still important, but the fact is the entire team has information more readily at their fingertips in real time. All of this leads to earlier assessments and reassessments of care plan approaches to improve outcomes. And all of this having triggers to look at the care plan and reevaluate and reassess, all of that speaks to Allison's federal tags that she mentioned, the citations for doing just that. And now I'd like to turn it over to Amy, who will talk about nutrition and meal planning.
Now let's switch gears and bring the clinical needs and interventions onto the plate. Learn from Allison how essential nutrition care plan is for healthy outcomes, but most important, it should be interdisciplinary, person-centric, have nutrition-related diagnosis problem, nutrition goals, and nutrition approaches and interventions. It's important to note that RDNs follow certain guidelines for the assessment process. The nutrition care process is the clinical documentation standards of practice. Captures nutrition diagnosis, goals, and interventions. This information is what builds that nutrition care plan. Clinicians, dietary leaders then transcribe the nutrition care process onto that interdisciplinary tool, the nutrition care plan. The care plan is often initiated by any discipline, but it should really refer to that clinical documentation. We learned from Sandy about the benefits of analytics tools in clinical documentation. But dietary leaders need to realize that with technology, data can be aggregated, any of data, and support operators as well as clinicians. Details like food operations, like diet, nutrition, supplement usage, even consistency needs of the population, dining location. Think of what analytics can provide, even menu selections. All of that can be gathered to trend the data. At the foundation, though, of all those tools and data is delivering that person-centered care at mealtime. Meals must meet planned nutrition goals that address their needs and preferences. Having items like fortified and high-calorie foods, snacks, alternate mealtimes, liberal diet, communal dining, all are the result of planned care. Meals should be delivered in a way to offer choice, whether it be alternates, a different style of dining, special rotations of food services, even delivery options. Each of these creative ideas are part of that nutrition care plan and should be documented. Operators now have the ability to personalize using end-to-end nutrition management technology with tools that offer you the ability to build a comprehensive profile of that resident. Management of diet orders, interventions, allergens, and dislikes are only basics. Look to personalize the plate more. Take that care plan, bring it all the way through to the individual profile of the resident. Assign specific substitutes maybe for more personal preference or needs. Look at categories of food that need to be addressed for each individual. Even use specific recipes and foods that are specific for the culture of the community. Maybe investing in your technology to develop a more personal menu complete with substitution features, desired serving, and possibly personal consistency notes, like those ITSEs I see diet, all can improve outcomes, and that impacts the original care plan. As many technology has advanced, nutrient details and analysis should be more readily available. Making sure menus meet recommended dietary intakes for the general population and even down to the individual custom menu for the needs of a resident is now available in dining software. you don't have an RD full-time, that's very time-consuming. Each operator should be aware of the nutrient needs when working on a menu, taking guidance from reputable sources. You can look to your state diet manual if you have one, or the nutrition care manual from the Academy Dietetics. Both are a good start. Your menu budget obviously plays a role in your menu planning. With food costs ever rising, it seems there'll be no relief soon. Every little trick is going to help. A food service software system lowers operational costs in many ways. You'll be better understood where you are in comparison to food budget with detailed cost reports that evaluate if your targets are at realistic goals. You'll better tackle food waste, avoid overproduction, have ability to evaluate ingredient usage, have recipe compliance, assign food storage locations, obtain input on menus with rating of food items from your population, and honor their preferences. You'll have a clear understanding of portion requirements that can be customized to preferences and the needs. You'll even be able to evaluate your purchase pattern, utilize shopping lists for exact counts as needed. It's really critical to bring that whole picture together, making sure from the start of that clinical documentation that can bring it forward to the food nutrition software piece to what's delivered. Overall, the caregiver's goals are basically to meet those nutrition care plan goals that you put forward. And we hope you found some tips to use that data available. Hopefully the data that you find today is to help you take nutrition a little bit beyond the plate itself. Well, we're here for you at Matrix Care. Hopefully you learned a little bit about care planning and analytics and what it can offer for food service operations as well. We appreciate you joining today, and let us know if there's any questions on follow-up. Thanks for joining.
That concludes the latest episode of the Post Acute Point of View podcast. We have a lot of guests and topics coming up that you won't want to miss, so be sure to subscribe. To learn more about Matrix Care and our solutions and services, visit matrixcare.com. You can also follow us on LinkedIn, Twitter, and Facebook. Thank you for listening. Be well, and we'll see you next time.